have found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We say hello to you on a Monday. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700. Terrific show lined up for you today. Tom Cakert, Hawkeye Report, will be our first guest coming up in about 15 minutes from now at 4:20. Sean Tomlinson, Bleacher Report on the National Football League at 5:15. And then about 5:35, Wolfgang will be on the show to close things down until we go all the way to the 6 o'clock hour. My brother from another mother, how did you enjoy that Iowa butt-kicking of Ohio State?
Well, just like I said all week long, right, Jimmy B? I mean, Iowa, how are they going to score? I mean, it went exactly how I envisioned this thing happening here. Well,
yeah,
maybe.
Me too, yeah.
No, I mean, Jim, it was absolutely just incredible. The domination that they had, the way that they played, the physicality, and the straight-up butt-kicking that they gave to Ohio State. And this is so much different than what we've seen in the past, where Iowa's pulled upsets like this before, when they've gone out there and they beat good teams. And they've been able to do it with having the team play in a phone book with them. They keep it low scoring. They get a play to go their way, and then they pull the upset. This was completely different than that. This was as thorough of a whooping that you've seen from Iowa. Probably you have to go back to the Michigan game out at the Big House in 2002, and even that one was a tight game at the half. This was a completely different level, completely different than what we've seen out of this team this year. Who was that team wearing those different uniforms? I guess that's all it took, Jim. You wear the blackout uniforms, and suddenly you're an offensive juggernaut.
This is a team, Trent, you and I laughed about it on Friday. Scored 10 points, 17 points. They had no clue how to get that offensive started. And then all of a sudden, Ohio State rolls into town, and they put up a double nickel. I could not believe what I was watching. I kept saying to the TV, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Is this Iowa? Or is this somebody else disguised in Iowa jerseys? I could not believe really what I was watching. I knew that it was real, that it wasn't a video game, although Iowa made it look like a video game on a lot of plays.
They did. They absolutely did. It was something so far-fetched, just something that was unthinkable going into the football game, that they were going to be able to play at that level. Sure, there were some Hawkeye fans out there that thought, hey, they could pull an upset, but nobody envisioned it to do that in that fashion. The running game finally got going. You saw those young offensive tackles going up against probably the most talented front four they're going to see all season long, and they went out there, and it was a physical football game and gave Akram Wadley a little bit of room to rumble. And James Butler is out there, and he had a big carry, and on and on and on. It looked like Akram Wadley had a little bit more wiggle to his game. There are certain guys, Jim, that when the lights are the brightest, they play at another level. I think we're seeing that Akram Wadley certainly is one of those kind of guys. When people are sitting there, the fake field goal, the throws by Stanley, a guy draped on his leg, the touchdown throw that he had to Fant in the back corner of the end zone, just a thing of beauty, the 25-yarder there, dropped it in a bucket. Noah Fant, talk about a matchup nightmare. Him and Hockenson, what they were able to do. It was all the things that we thought maybe they would be able to do, and it all came together in one spot, and it all came together against Ohio State. They play well against Michigan. They played well against Penn State in the past. But the Buckeyes are always a team that's the thorn in the side of the Hawkeyes. And for one Saturday afternoon into the evening in November, Iowa was a lot better football team.
You're absolutely correct. And that's, you could not have said it any better. Iowa was a lot better football team than Ohio State on that day. Absolutely correct. Look, I was just stunned that there was such a lack of Ohio State offense after what we had witnessed against Penn State. I was also stunned that Ohio State's defense had hardly any answers for what the Hawkeyes were doing offensively. They just struggled. They looked like they were lost in space at some times. And you're right about a couple of guys being nightmares for defensive backs. I agree. But this is an Ohio State team that went to Nebraska and just destroyed them. at Nebraska. It's an Ohio State team that was down and appeared to be out against Penn State. And in the second half, got their act together, rallied to win. It was an Ohio State team that was coached by Urban Meyer. Trent, this doesn't happen to Urban Meyer.
No.
It just doesn't. Think about it. Think about all of the teams. Even when he coached at Bowling Green, and then he went to Utah, and then Florida, and now Ohio. His teams just don't get blown out. And that's exactly what took place on Saturday.
So Iowa's final drive. First of all, Torin Young offensively gets a touchdown. You can see the Buckeyes were just absolutely cooked. And Iowa went in with a backup, their third running back, and ran it right up there. That was great to see. The last possession defensively, this is the defense that the Hawkeyes had on the field. Everett Golson, Sam Brinks, a defensive end. You had Hewlett inside, a defensive tackle. Your linebackers were Menz, Hockaday, and Nick Neiman, not Ben Neiman. His little brother Nick was out there. Your cornerbacks are Ojemudia and Hankins. Your safeties are Stone and Taylor. They went out there, and they were playing backups. They were playing backups against Ohio State because they were throttling them, because they were dominating the football game. It was something completely different. It was something that you just don't see happen against Ohio State, and Iowa was able to get it done. An incredible performance, an incredible game out of this Iowa team. You have to love now what they have going forward. And an opportunity for the Hawkeyes now, it's Wisconsin. And the national narrative now this week is that the Big Ten is cooked, that Wisconsin would have to be 13-0. Not anybody's picking them to do that. They have to beat Iowa this week. They have to beat Michigan and then win that Big Ten championship game. And even that, some people think a 13-0 Wisconsin, that is a narrative. Let's slow down. A 13-0 Wisconsin team, even though BYU proved to not be very good, the schedule proved to not be very good this year, in this season of college football, they're not getting left out of the college football playoff. I just cannot envision a realistic scenario where that happens because there's still so much football to be played. There's still so much football that is to be played out there. You still have Auburn with two shots. They get Georgia this week and, of course, Alabama in the Iron Bowl. What's going to happen with Notre Dame? Do they run the table? They still have road trips. Miami this week. The ACC, how does that play out? Does Clemson get through unscathed before the ACC championship game? More than likely against Miami. That's no sure thing. You go through all these different scenarios that are out there, and to say that a conference is dead at this point, it's silly. We've seen college football and how crazy things can be. In 2007, the final weekend, looked like we were going to get Missouri, West Virginia. How that didn't play out. Or Kansas, a possibility. And the nuts nature that happens in the final week. And that's the great thing with the college football scene. You don't know when you're going to get Iowa 55, Ohio State 24. You don't know what's going to happen with Michigan State, Penn State. And all of a sudden, the Spartans now a chance to run the table and for them to get to the Big Ten championship game. Week in and week out, it is incredible theater. It is an incredible, incredible sport. And that's why it's so good. And we get to see it week in and week out, just how very good that it is. Well, we're going to come back here on the other side when we rejoin you. Our friend Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com, he'll be here. We will talk with him a little bit about what's happening with this Hawkeye squad. A look back, the field storming. It was a crazy scene down there on the field. Urban Meyer, and he had about 3 minutes where he had things to say after the ball game. We'll get thoughts on Tom from that environment at Kinnick Stadium. We'll get into that with him. Still to come in the program, Sean Tomlinson. We'll talk some NFL with Sean in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Wolfgang will be here. We'll get into Iowa State a little bit later on. We'll talk some Cyclones. They let one slip away. I think this is one you're going to look back upon. And you're going to have that feeling of what went wrong, what just didn't go right for the Cyclones. Down 20-0, you come back. There were plenty of opportunities there where you felt like they're going to get back and they're going to do what they've done against Oklahoma, done against Texas Tech, the week ago against TCU. Still, it just never happened, Jim. It never happened for the Cyclones. They could never get over the hump.
Just couldn't do it. I mean, it was just one of those things that it kind of reminded me some of the Texas game a little bit, where they had guys available. They had guys open. The offense just was not in total sync to be truly productive And look, they gave up the 20 in the first half. Defense shuts out West Virginia in the second half. Trent, the game was there for the taking. If they could have done anything with any consistency on the offense, just didn't happen.
Yeah. It's one that I think Iowa State fans are going to be left kind of kicking themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You go back at the season if they finish a game short of getting to the Big 12 title game, something like that. Because it felt throughout the second half that they're a better football team than West Virginia. It just couldn't get it done. And had that fourth and goal at the one. They decide to kick the field. I get it. You're down two scores. You want to cut it to a one-score game. I get it. You got David Montgomery. You have David Montgomery in the backfield. Get him the football. He's able to find a yard, it seems like. But, alas, here we are. The Cyclones now get ready for Oklahoma State. We'll get into that a little bit later in some breaking news right now, Jim Brinson. Breaking
news.
Yes,
sir. Lay it on, everybody.
Iowa basketball news. Nicholas Bear has fractured a finger in practice over the weekend and may miss 3 to 4 weeks. That comes from our friend Andy Garman at KCCI. A blow, certainly. And as deep as this team is up front, it's more at the center and power forward positions, not so much at small forward. Come on down, Jack Dungy. You're going to see even more minutes than we anticipated.
You know, this is I'm a big Nicholas Bear fan. Mm-hmm. I liked him when he walked on. I liked his game, Trent, and everybody says, well, he's going to be a guy who plays a few minutes here. No, he's not. This dude can flat out play. And that's really difficult. Now, if it's 3 to 4 weeks, can you get that lousy ass schedule that they have?
Yes.
All the non-conference. By the way, speaking of which, and where you railed on their lousy non-conference once again, I happened to look at the way, way, way too early teams that are in the NCAA tournament, and they had Iowa at a 9 seed. If I saw that one correctly, I believe that's what I saw. And that goes back to you saying, look at all the lousy teams they played in the non-con. And if they would have played or at least scheduled some teams instead of all the ones that are 300 and plus, if they would have scheduled 200, then they probably would have gotten maybe a 5 or a 6 seed. So, look, I'm with you on when you go on that wild rant like that, and but this will prove to be either a blessing because you're going to get other guys a lot more playing time, and then when Bear gets back, you might be able to rely on them a little more.
Sure.
Or it'll be dreadful because those guys won't be able to perform and make up the difference that Nicholas Bear gives you when he's out on the basketball court. What did you find there, 3 to 4 weeks?
That would put him back, let's see, so they play Friday against Chicago State, a week later is 2 weeks. Best case scenario, if you're looking at that three-week stretch, maybe he can return for the ACC Big Ten Challenge game against Virginia Tech. That would
be important.
That would be November 28th, so best-case scenario. Then after that, of course, they have the two Big Ten games, Penn State at home, that's December 2nd, and then Monday at Indiana before the Thursday game, December 7th against Iowa State. Now, that's an important stretch. Coming off the Cayman Islands, more than likely going to see Cincinnati in the championship game down there. Don't think he would be able to make it for that one, but if you can have him healthy, ready to go for that game against a Virginia Tech team that also is probably going to be an NCAA tournament team, a fringe bubble team maybe right in there, but a road game against Virginia Tech, certainly that would be probably the best case. And the press release also has just come out on this one. Reading through it here from the University of Iowa. Famer McCaffrey announcing the junior forward Nicholas Bear expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks. Broken bone in his left pinky finger in a weekend practice. It will not require surgery, the other part of it. So that's what you have. Nungy, maybe he gets a shot there. They could go Ahmad Wagner, go a little bigger.
Creener?
Yeah.
They go Creener?
Well, I don't know if you can play Creener and Garza together is the only problem, especially with Cook is also going to be a starter. So I don't think Creener would probably be a guy, at least in the starting lineup, that you would turn to. But we'll keep an eye on it, Jimmy B. And, we got somebody that'll help us out. Tom Cakert up next.
That'll be awesome. We'll have that conversation with Tom as we deliver that news. And thank you, Andy Garman from KCCI. We're coming right back with Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com, right here on the Big Talker 1700.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Now, we'd never tell you what kind of truck to drive, but what kind of snowplow? Well, that's a different story. For more than 65 years, Fisher Plows have been getting the job done reliably and efficiently. From heavy-duty commercial plows, V-plows, breakthrough deep snow drifts, or a personal snowplow for your half-ton truck. You'll find the Fisher plow that's right for your need at Schuling Hitch in Des Moines and Ames. It's time to upgrade your blade with a new Fisher plow from Schuling Hitch. Visit SchulingHitch.com.
As a poop emoji, I see a lot of crap out on the road. But if you get in a car and don't wear a seatbelt, you're being a real head. Buckle up and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock, and with the breaking news coming out of Iowa on the basketball team, Nicholas Bear, out 3 to 4 weeks with a broken pinky finger that he sustained in practice over the weekend. This plays into our plans. extremely well, because Tom Cakert is our guest, HawkeyeReport.com. He's on the Draft House 50 hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Tommy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, Tom, here it is, and I know that most of the conversation, and most likely still will be, about football, but we got to start with what's taking place with basketball now and Nicholas Bear. Look, back in our day, if you broke your pinky finger, you still played. You just taped it up next to the other finger and went back in. They're not going to do that, though. They're going to keep them out 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, back in the day, you'd just buddy tape it and go for a while. But this is non-shooting hand, so I think they just want to be careful, get them healthy. They've got enough depth. You know, Fran's got enough guys there that Nicholas, you know, not that they don't need him, because I think they do really need him, but they've got bodies that they could go to up front. I think this means Ahmad Wagner's probably in your starting lineup. And I think Jack Nungy's going to be playing a lot of the three. So I'm just bummed because now I don't get to use all my bear gifts on Twitter when he does something good.
Well, that's always disappointing. And, well, if there was ever a stretch that you think they're going to be okay, it'd be the opening three games of the regular season. But and more than likely, this is going to put them out, probably miss the Cayman Islands Classic. What, you hope you can get him back for maybe the Big Ten ACC Challenge game at VaTech?
Yeah, I think probably best case scenario is he gets back before to play in the Caymans. I think that would probably be their goal right now, is to get him healthy for that. But if they can't, then I would say probably the VaTech game at the end of the month.
So you mentioned Nungy going to be a part of this. Sorry, Jim. Yeah, you go through the lineup and the way they play. They have so much depth at the center and the power forward positions, but not a ton, really, at the small forward position. Outside of Nungy, you know, is this going to be Ahmad Wagner seeing some more minutes? I know he worked on a shot during the PTL. Still not your prototypical three, but he could guard some guys out there. Now all of a sudden, Fran goes from all this depth, and it's still a very deep team, but he's going to have to be doing a little bit more playing around now.
Yeah, he's got, you know, I guess this eases his pain of trying to play 13 guys. Now he's only got to try to play 12. So, but I think he can tinker around. I just think Nungy's going to end up playing the three a lot in this situation. I just think that's the most logical thing that they could do right now. You may end up with a situation where maybe they, you know, perhaps they play Connor at the one and Bohannon at the two, or Ellington at the two, and move Moss over to the three. You could probably do some of that. But he's going to be able to mix and match around. I think he'll got three games to tinker and see what kind of lineups are working there and who's playing the three. But obviously they're going to miss Nicholas, sixth man of the year in the Big Ten last year.
All right, Tom, then. Now take me to football. Trent and I began the program indicating it was one of the greatest butt-kickings that we had seen by an Iowa team against such a highly ranked team in a number of seasons. Can you remember another healthy butt-kicking that comes to your mind that would match what Iowa did to Ohio State?
Well, you know, against an opponent that was ranked that high, it's really hard to come up with. I mean, it was the Michigan State game in, I think, 2010, maybe, where they really smoked them, and Michigan State was five, but they were probably an inflated five. But, you know, I go back to 2002, the game at the Big House, where they just throttled. That was the birth of the bullies of the Big Ten for the Hawkeyes. That game, but boy, I just, you know, and I've been going to Iowa games since the mid 70s when I was a kid with my dad, and covering them for basically all the Ferentz era, and I can't remember a more unexpected result. Not that I would upset them. I you know, I don't think anybody would have. I mean, you would have been surprised, but not shocked. It's shocking when Iowa puts 55 points on the board against Ohio State. It just is. And if somebody would have told you before the day that the final score was going to be 55-24, Somebody said, oh, well, Ohio State pounded them just like we thought they would. And nobody expected Iowa to put 55 points. They in, you know, four of the five Big Ten games, they hadn't even scored more than 19. So you just couldn't have seen this coming.
But there it was. We all saw it, and it was an incredibly impressive effort, Tom. And you go through, think of the week that Brian Ferentz just went through, from the blow-up up in the press box and the yelling at the replay official to the game that he called. Pretty quick turnaround. Looks like maybe he's got some of his old man qualities there, turning the page quickly.
Yeah, it was, and that was kind of my lead thing for my Sunday night column, because last year I said the biggest story was Brian Ferentz's blow up in the press box, and this week the biggest story is Brian Ferentz putting together, you know, painting a masterpiece from an offensive coordinator standpoint. He just, that was perfect. It was, every part of it was perfect, and it was just something to watch, to see them just demolish a pretty good Ohio State defense the way that they did. Was just something, and they, and the other thing that people have always complained about with Kirk specifically, that they put it in a, you know, they get a 10-point lead and it's going into a lockbox, is what we always jokingly call it among the guys who cover the team. So they just basically turtle up and run the ball a lot. And Brian Ferentz put his foot on Urban's neck a little bit and kept trying to score. And I think Iowa fans really, really like that.
Hey, maybe he should blow up in the press box more often if you get the next game like that. You got any feel at all?
That might be the secret, Jim.
It could be. Could be. You got any feel at all about the upcoming game against Wisconsin?
You know, the most interesting thing about this series is the road team has won. I tweeted this out the other day. The road team has won the last six times this game has been played. Iowa has won four of the last five times they've been up in Madison. Now, they haven't been up in Madison much lately. I mean, you know, just to get to five games, you have to go back to the 0-3 game where Sean Considine knocked down a pass at the very end. So they haven't been up there much, but when they've gone up there, they've had pretty good success. And, you know, Wisconsin's won, on the flip side, Wisconsin's won four of the last five, but so many of those games have been played in Iowa City. So it's just, it's weird the way this series has kind of been played. You know it's going to be tough, hard-nosed, mirror image football. But Wisconsin's beat up. I mean, he ran for 183, but, you know, he was questionable going into last week. Their top wide receiver is going to be out. One of their top middle linebacker, Orr, is going to be out. So they're really getting thin. And they didn't have a great passing game to begin with. So, you know, stay all over their tight end, I think, is the key. And turnovers will be key. And whoever runs the ball better is going to win the game. That's kind of how it works with Iowa-Wisconsin.
Well, if we get a standard Badger-Hawkeye matchup and it's 17-13 and it's a slugfest, you know what's going to be happening? Everybody on the message boards at HawkeyeReport.com is going to be saying, Tom, well, where's the offense we saw last week?
That's exactly what people are saying. You know that's already in their mind. Yep. Is where's that offense from last week? Well, it's different, just different team, different way to, you know, different way to play the game. Hopefully they do score 55. If they score 55, then, you know, Brian Ferentz may become governor of Iowa or something, or mayor of Iowa City, you know.
That's more realistic. Remember, we got Cyclone fans over here. Hey, Tom, I want to get your thoughts on Akram Wadley. I thought he looked well. Now, the offensive line played at a high level. Those freshman tackles grew up. James Daniels certainly played his best game of the season. I thought Welsh played the best he has since probably going back to before he made the flip back over to the right tackle spot and then moved back inside. But Akram Wadley looked like he had a little bit more in the tank on Saturday.
Yeah, he did, and I'm glad you said that about James, because I thought that was his best game overall of his career. He was really just dominant, and, you know, that was a big game for James Daniels. His dad played for Ohio State, and Ohio State was his other school that he considered before coming to Iowa. So he was, you know, obviously grew up in Ohio. So for him and Sean Welsh, that had that game on Saturday had a little extra meaning. But Akram did. You know, but they finally got him out in space where he could do something, where he was, or there wasn't someone hanging on him the minute he caught the ball. And that's the key with him, is if you give him a step where he can do something, generally he's going to do something, and he did. And it was really fun to watch him. It was great to see James Butler have that big run. You know, they had three backs that ran for at least a 30-yard run individually in that game, and that hadn't happened all year.
Tom Kakert is our guest. Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker 1700. Tom, I'm real curious, with the way that the defense played against Ohio State, can they duplicate that against Wisconsin, despite the fact the way that Wisconsin can run the ball and they got those big fat guys on that offensive line that are so good?
Yeah, that's going to be the challenge, because it's way different than any other game, I think. Just because Wisconsin's offensive line looks a little bit different than everybody else's. I mean, everybody's got kind of big guys, but Wisconsin's got, I always call them like human silos. You know, they're all like 6'7", 330, and they all can move. And that's going to be the challenge for Iowa. I suspect they'll be able to, you know, as long as the Iowa coaches will tell you, as long as they sustain their technique and do their job, they're going to be fine. But it's easier said than done. I think this is just, you know, classic. Iowa's going to know exactly what Wisconsin's going to do. Wisconsin knows exactly what Iowa likes to do, and they're just going to put hats on each other and see which team can push the other one around for 60 minutes and find out. You know, it's just it's always just trench warfare with these two, and that's what we're going to see Saturday.
So, big picture, Tom, this win against Ohio State certainly means a lot for Kirk Ferentz, getting that victory just the second of his career against the Buckeyes, beating Urban Meyer, you know, all those big things that you look back upon after his career finishes up. But for the future of this program over the next couple of years, it does feel like with all the young guys we've seen get playing time this year, that they're building back up, that they're maybe getting to a spot that we saw a couple years back. You look at the trajectory of this program, just how good could 2018-2019 be in your mind?
Yeah, 2018, especially schedule-wise, kind of sets up pretty well for Iowa to do some things. And you're right, it's a lot of young guys, especially you look at that offensive line where they're only going to be replacing really Sean Welch, so they've got to just, you know, find one more guard to jump in there and take over that spot for him. So it's, you know, it's going to be real interesting to see how this team develops. Next year they'll have to replace those linebackers, and that'll be really important. You know, one of the other things that you look at just finishing up this year, Kirk Ferentz is closing in on Hayden Fry's all-time Iowa win record. Mm. And he may get there this year. He's got to get a couple wins to tie it and three to get there. So that's something to watch the rest of the way. And Nate Stanley, he's got 22 touchdown passes, and he may set the all-time single-season mark for an Iowa quarterback this year if he can get to up to Chuck Long's 85 number of 27.
Let me follow up with what you just referenced there on quarterback Nate Stanley. How have you seen him progress as a starting quarterback in the Big Ten to where the season began to where he is now, Tom?
I think he's making his reads better. I think that's tops of the list. I think he's not locking into that first guy and just kind of staying there. He's moving his head around a little bit, kind of getting the nuances. And that throw that he had with Sam Hubbard draped on his shoes was something, because that's all armed. And that was a rifle that he threw to the back of the end zone to T.J. Hockenson. And that just tells you the arm strength that kid has. And you know what we saw Saturday was, this is what an Iowa offense can look like when you don't have three or four critical drops. Because they didn't. And Stanley didn't pitched his perfect game. He had some balls that were behind people. I think of that one that he hit Hockenson in the seam that was a little bit behind, and Hockenson went and got it. And the one touchdown pass, I think it was to Noah, was a little low. But, you know, the guys were hanging on to the ball. And that's what makes an offense go, is when you're catching the ball and making those plays, and you don't have those big misses in critical times. Look at the tight ends Saturday. They had 9 catches. 4 of them were for touchdowns, and the other 5 were for first downs. I mean, that's just how simple the offense is. If they catch the ball and it's delivered there, then you can keep moving the ball.
Tom, last thing from me, back to basketball here for a moment. We mentioned the injury to Nicholas Barris. He's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with a broken finger. Plantar fasciitis, a little bit of a ding right now for Bohannon, something that you'd have to assume is going to linger throughout the season. You got Connor McCaffrey as a backup point guard, but probably the one position that they can least afford to have an injury is that point guard spot. And at the very least right now, Bohannon isn't 100%. How concerning is that going through the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's a concern. And, Gary Dolphin and Bobby Hanson mentioned it on a broadcast, and I asked Dolph about it, and he said that he did say that on the broadcast. So, Fran has not said anything about it. Jordan has not said anything about it at this point. I'm sure they'll get asked about it on Thursday when we have a press conference with Fran. So it's the type of injury that can linger and linger and linger and linger, or it could tomorrow. He could wake up and it could be gone, but it's a lingerer. It really generally is kind of a lingering thing. I know they've been treating it, and there's no like simple treatment for it. So, it's a big concern because it's a painful injury when you're pushing off on that foot, when you're trying to get to the basket, and you've noticed it in the 2 exhibition games where he's kind of coasted. Last game, he was 0-3 from the field, didn't really even look for a shot. So, It's an important thing that I think Iowa fans are going to have to monitor here in the next few weeks.
I'll let you go then on this basketball follow-up to that. McCaffrey, the younger McCaffrey, good thing that he was just hanging around the team and was on campus then, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's really good. And Connor's a really solid point guard. He's not going to shoot it real well. He hasn't shot it well in the first 2 games. But he knows how to run a team. And the thing I always like about him is he's not a dribble advanced guy. He's a pass advanced guy. So he'll get it and he'll look up court and try to advance the ball with the pass, try to get the ball going to guys in scoring positions. And he knows how to run a team. And he knows his dad's offense. He's been watching it forever. So I feel really comfortable having Connor run the Iowa offense.
Good stuff, Tom. As always, appreciate your time. We'll talk again. Well, we'll hear you tomorrow on the Hawkeye Huddle. And then Ken and myself will talk to you on Friday. Have a good week.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Tom Caker, HawkeyeReport.com. With us there, Jimmy B, it's, we are now approaching 48 hours later since the victory for Iowa, and it's still, there's a part of it that leaves you dumbfounded. I watched the game, got home. From the game,
right.
Watch the game again.
Yep.
My buddy came in, one of them that I went to. He came over. We watched it together. I watched it again yesterday. It comes down, my wife, you watched this game 3 times already. I have a feeling I'm going to be watching that one a lot this summer to get me through the summer months.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, that's, part of being a sports fan. It's also part of what we do. I've gone back and looked at several different aspects of not just that game, but of the Iowa State game as well, just so you have a better understanding. And look, I think if you're a Hawk fan, you might just sort of keep that one on the DVR for quite a while.
Yes, yes.
Or even dub it off onto a DVD so that you can keep it for posterity. I don't know. But look, nobody beats up Ohio State like the way Iowa beat them up.
Nope.
Trent, it just doesn't happen, but it did happen on Saturday.
Good place to be. We'll take a time out here, come back, put a cap on hour number one. You can join us as well. We got time for open phone lines here at 515-264-1700. Again, 264-1700 dialed up right now as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Come into Firestone Complete Auto Care and get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Seriously? It's November.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is.
Ready or not, the holidays are coming. So get ready at the Jared Semi-Annual Event, November 10th through 12th. Come enjoy our best prices of the season and discover hundreds of pieces you'll only find at Jared. The Jared Semi-Annual Event. That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at Menards.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones too, like whipping up the family pumpkin pie recipe with spices, blends, and extracts on sale, buy one, get one 50% off. Some post-pie coffee. Dunkin' Donuts ground coffee is on sale for $5.99. Just add a moisturizer, pick up Neutrogena skincare products, and get another one 25% off. Get in, out, and on your way. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
1700 KBGG is your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Tyreek Hill takes it at the 5. San Diego didn't think he was going to take it. Here he goes. He's at the 25-30. They blocked the punter. The cheat is gone. They can't get to him. Tyreek Hill stays on the right boundary. 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
The voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joins myself, Trent Condon, and Ken Miller each Thursday at 1:40 on your home for Chiefs football, 1700 KBGG.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Well,
little Tom Petty to get us going here. Nice job there, partner. Look, I think this is going to be a very interesting week for both Iowa and Iowa State. All the talk's going to be about Can Iowa win now at Wisconsin on the road? Mm-hmm. And all the talk for Iowa State's going to be Oklahoma State coming in. Look at all the points they put up and still couldn't beat Oklahoma. And are they going to do that to Iowa State? And can Iowa State's offense respond? That's those are going to be the storylines that we're going to be covering this week, partner.
Yeah, it's a fun week, certainly of football, a couple of big games.
Yeah.
And nationally, there's a lot of big games, a lot of narratives out there. And quite the performance again out of Iowa. Let's get out to the phone lines right now. 264-1700 is where you can join us. We got Jeff on the line with us this afternoon. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Just wanted to comment on, you guys were talking about big wins for Iowa in the past. I would go back, mm-hmm. Obviously they're not Ohio State-type wins, but I think Tom Cakert mentioned that Michigan State game in 2010 where Michigan State came in pretty highly ranked mm-hmm. into Kinnick. And then the other one, I lost the reception, so I don't know if you mentioned this one too. I would also go back to when Iowa clinched the Big Ten title and beat Wisconsin back in the early 2000s.
Drew Tate had a monster performance in the second half, really struggled early in the beginning of that game, threw a couple of interceptions against the Badgers, but they rolled in the second half. That's a good one, too.
My question with that is, was that the year, too, that Iowa basically ran out of running backs and they were down to, like, Sam Brownlee?
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. That was the season. It was 04 that happened. The last Big Ten title for Kirk Ferentz was that season. So, yeah, 2004, it was, Sam Brownlee out there running the football.
Yeah,
and
I remember that. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Have a good one, Jeff. Yeah, there's been some big ones. Yeah, I mentioned the Michigan win, Jimmy B, when they went into the big house, dominated the second half and won 34-9. That's when Michigan was up. Lloyd Carr was still the coach there. They were revved up and competing for Big Ten titles seemingly every single season. There's been ones, but that was just a different level. Now, the Michigan State win, that was a good Michigan State team. It was a week after Iowa had blown the game against Wisconsin. They let the Badgers have the fake punt. Bielema came in and stole some of the Hawkeye mojo from that time. We know the season didn't end up the way that many people expected, but that was a big one. A couple of good ones, though, from Jeff.
That's a good call from Jeff. Look, I'm just trying to even reference back, and I didn't even see on there, Trent, if they hung up over 50 points on a top five team or a top eight team in the country. And look, that was, I'm sure that if you would have called our show Friday mm-hmm. and would have said, I was going to blow them out, we just would have hung up on you.
Right.
And laughed at you and said, oh, Jesus, go back to the bar, will you? But after looking at that game, watching it, and then going back and reviewing some of the big plays in that game, I mean, I opened the show by saying it was a serious butt-kicking. I'm not kidding. It was. And I just don't really remember Urban Meyer teams getting pushed around the way that Iowa pushed around Iowa State. Not just on the scoreboard, but physically, Trent pushed them around on the field.
Right. It was just such a dominating performance. And you start with the pick six to begin the football game. 8 seconds in, mm-hmm. and Iowa's up there.
Boom.
And did you see Kirk Ferentz? I saw this, and I saw a couple people mention it after the fact. After they got that pick six, he was a little misty, which we've seen that happen plenty of times with him, after football games and emotional wins, and he'll wear his heart on the sleeve, but never 8 seconds into a football game. Did you catch that?
I didn't catch that. No, he was. Are you sure it just wasn't perspiration? Oh no, it wasn't sweat because it was cold.
Right.
So that wasn't the case. So, geez, I didn't realize that he missed it up a little bit there.
Yeah, maybe he knew something that we didn't know. The game plan was executed beautifully. Stanley, those throws, the touchdown to Fant in the corner, just a thing of beauty. On and on and on. 300. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Joshua Jackson, Jimmy B. Joshua Jackson, three interceptions, including the Odell Beckham-type catch.
Beckham, yeah.
The one
God,
hander.
That was great.
And enjoy him while you can, Hawkeye fans, because He is leaving after this season, as he should.
He's playing on Sunday. Yes. You're not kidding. No question about that guy.
Hockenson, Fant, you know, getting plays just all over the place. It was a complete team effort, a dominating performance, and certainly one that will be remembered for a long time, Jimmy B. And we'll be talking about that game well down the line. People remember this one for a long time.
I agree with you 100%. Look, now they have to try to continue, and they have to have some success at Wisconsin. Look, you've been there, tough place to play. The style of game that Wisconsin plays, it'll be totally different than what we saw against Ohio State, and they generally do not produce high-scoring games, although – if memory serves me correctly, didn't Wisconsin just totally blow out and dominate Indiana on the Hoosiers' home field? So I don't know all of a sudden if Wisconsin has kind of found their offense a little bit. Look, Tom Cakert already talked about their best wide receiver is not going to be able to play. He's out. They've also lost a linebacker. He's out. My question to you, Trent, since people have little faith in Wisconsin, the way things are going now, if Wisconsin does not win out, in other words, if they win the West and go to the championship game, is the Big Ten going to get left out?
I know that's the national narrative right now, Jimmy B, and it's very easy to do that. You know, if Wisconsin doesn't finish 13-0, they're not getting in because of the schedule that they played. Even if, say, they lose to Iowa, come back, beat Michigan, beat Minnesota, and beat whoever out of the East, I don't think the resume is good enough to get in. I understand that, but I always caution people to slow down. This is college football. There are still a lot of important games. Just a week ago, the Pac-12, they're done. A couple weeks before that, the Big 12, they're done. There's still a lot of things that can happen, and there's a very realistic scenario, you know, where SEC, you got Alabama, it's undefeated. Georgia could be a two-loss team. They could lose this week to Auburn, lose in the SEC championship game. They have two losses. Notre Dame can still lose a game. Clemson can still lose a game. Miami can still lose a couple of games. You go on and on and on. TCU, say they beat Oklahoma and then lose in the Big 12 championship game. They have two losses. On and on and on we go here, Jim, where it is not completely out of the realm of possibility that a two-loss conference champion from somewhere gets into the playoffs. So I know that's an easy narrative that people are going to. I just caution, be careful with that. There's still a lot of football to be played, and just don't jump to those conclusions because we've gone to that point too many times too quickly already this season with conferences. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to be that crazy. But your favorite, Jimmy B, is the chaos, and chaos is still out there. There's still an opportunity for chaos.
It's always my favorite. I love college chaos, and I just hope that this is the year that it's just absolutely nuts, Trent. Speaking before we get to our top of the hour break here, Baker Mayfield, did he play his way, Trent, back into the midway point of college football right now as the Heisman Trophy favorite?
I think he's got to be up there. I think he's got to be the guy after Saquon Barkley struggled again, this time in a loss, the second loss of the season. The bloom is off that rose a little bit. You go through, you look at some of the other candidates. I think Baker Mayfield has to be there. And if they keep winning and they keep putting up point totals like they did against Oklahoma State, absolutely. Another guy that the narrative was just a month ago after they lose at home to Iowa State, Baker Mayfield has no shot. Be careful with those absolutes. There are no absolutes in college football. When we come back on the other side, we'll kick off the 5 o'clock hour and then get into the NFL. Sean Tomlinson will be by from BleacherReport.com. We'll talk lots of NFL with him. Wolfgang also still to come in the 5 o'clock hour as we take you up until 6 o'clock on Jimmy B and TC.
Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Jim Gray from Westwood One here with a Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Turning feelings into jewelry. That's why he went to Jared. Green Bay will be the site as the Packers host the Detroit Lions. After a close loss to the Steelers last week, quarterback Matthew Stafford said they must do a better job of finishing drives.
You know, I was happy the way we executed in the field. Our guys are doing a really nice job of, executing some protection checks, and our guys in the run game did a good job too. So there's positives to take away from this, you know, but there's obviously some negatives we got to clean up, and we've got to, find ways to get points.
Green Bay is coming off their bye week without the injured Aaron Rodgers. Kevin Harlan and Boomer Esiason will have the call on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Napa Know How.
Ice, snow, rain, and 24-hour holiday music. Winter throws a lot at you. That's why Napa has ExactFit wiper blades for $10 off per pair. These durable, long-lasting blades will help you defend against winter's worst, holiday music not included. So save $10 today with Napa ExactFit wiper blades. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Only the Home Depot has Ryobi's OnePlus 4 amps per hour 18-volt brushless hammer drill kit for just $149. Buy one now and get another OnePlus tool free. It comes with a brushless motor, a OnePlus battery that fits over 100 other Ryobi tools. Oh, and one more thing you can't get anywhere else, another tool free. The Ryobi Brushless Hammer Drill Kit. Buy one, get another tool free at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through January 24th, U.S. only. Limit one per customer. See store for details.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun.